Hello, everybody, and welcome to another great episode of Kill Your Yo-Yo, brought to you by Illinks. My name is Ross Levine, and this is the only podcast dedicated to yo-yo improvisation, theory, and performance. I, first of all, just want to apologize for the last three episodes have all been, they haven't been guests, they've just been me talking to you. So we have a guest for you today, and it is Justin Dower. You know him from being the junior national champion and also scoring in the top 15 at Scales in 2022 in the pro division. So he is really coming into his own, and he's about to just take the yo-yo world by storm, as if he hasn't started to already. We talk about a lot. We talk about what he does in his competition, but not just about the competition, also about how he thinks about the scoring system, which can apply to all kinds of things, not just competition, but with people. He has sort of a formula that he applies, and you can use that formula to help to create better performances both on the competition stage and on the performing stage. He also has a lot of interesting ideas about doing tricks that are simple but super, super flashy, and how you can use those to get a non-yo-yoing audience on your side. He also has appeared in all kinds of media, from TV shows to music videos with famous rappers, so he talks a little bit about that. There's a lot of great stuff in this episode, and I can't wait for you to hear it. But first, I need to plug something. On March 22nd, the Melatonin will be dropping on yoyosam.com, yotricks.com, and illinkstoys.com. That's illinkstoys.com. And I want you to just start saving your pennies for that, because that yo-yo directly supports this podcast, and there is nothing that you can do more to help support us than directly financially by buying that yo-yo. And as a bonus, it's a great yo-yo. We've got three colors. They are going to be very exciting, and they'll be releasing very soon. So keep an eye out for that. Share this podcast with some yo-yoer that you know that you think can benefit from it. And without any further ado, enjoy this episode with the one and only Justin Dower. I am just, I don't know, I'm really happy to have you on. I knew that I was going to have you on eventually. I just didn't really know when. And I'm glad that I got you on this week.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be like, in May or something. So I'm happy it happened earlier.
Yeah. Oh, dude, the schedule was, we're booked out. We got some good guests showing up, which, just a plug, if you're not subscribed yet, you should get subscribed, because there's some, I'm not going to give any exclusive information releases, but there are some hot peppers on the list. Justin, of course, being one of them. But let's get started with what got you, the one and only Justin Dower, recently placed in the top 15 at Scales in Pro Division, right?
Yeah.
Heck yeah. What got you originally into yo-yoing?
I have like an official start, and then I have like an unofficial start. So the unofficial was just like, I would go to my friend's house, like down the street, and I would see him with a, I think it was a Yomega, the Yomega something. It's the one with like the rubber rims. And he would always like learn like from the yo-yo expert videos, like the OG ones.
Oh yeah.
And he had a second yo-yo that he would let me use, and he ended up just giving it to me because he liked his Yomega that much. And yeah. Then it broke like a week later, and I like couldn't really get it to go like up or down. But that kind of like sparked my interest in it, so I was kind of like after to try to find a yo-yo, but I wasn't like super into it. But I was like, if I had the chance, I'd get a yo-yo. So I was getting shoes with my mom at like, I think it was Big Five. And we're getting the shoes and we're checking out, and I see a Yo-Yo Factory 1 at the checkout stand where they put everything at the end so it catches your attention so you buy it, and I fell for it and I bought the yo-yo. And it took me quite a while to be able to get it back to my hand.
And that's probably partly because it was a Yo-Yo Factory 1.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's 100% the reason now.
Oh, it's so depressing. That's what they think that the best beginner yo-yo is. Oh, it's so beautiful.
This is the same one, I think.
I love that it's red. Always a good color choice for a yo-yo.
Yeah.
The
decent for $10, if you put an unresponsive bearing in it, it can actually like do some good tricks.
Oh, really? I always assumed that it came unresponsive. Maybe try one with a full-size bearing.
No, I think it's like $8.99 or something. So the most bearings these days are like $9.99, which is like more expensive than the yo-yo itself.
Fair point. Well, that's good. I'm glad that you kept your original first yo-yo.
Yeah. That might be a replacement. I kind of forgot. Yeah, 8 years ago. That's how it started. 2014 March, I think.
That's awesome.
I remember I went to the Redondo Beach contest in 2015 of March, and that was like my 1 year anniversary. So I think it was early 2014. So I would have been 8 years old.
Oh, wow. And did you compete, or were you just there to hang out?
I did compete. I didn't want to at first. Like, I didn't have a routine. But Ryan Gee convinced me, and then you picked the song. Do you remember that?
Oh, I think I don't remember what the song was, but I do remember that you didn't like it. I think I heard that on one of your podcasts or something.
I said that. Oh, no. I forgot what the song was, but the video's on the YouTube, on my YouTube channel. Just, like, Justin Dower. All my contests are on that. I have a playlist of just, like, every contest I've ever been to, just, like, in a playlist. Or, like, every routine I've ever done.
If I were to guess, it's probably Down the Road by RJD2, I think is the band. And it's a bit of a funky song. That sounds about right.
It wasn't that one. You used that one at Las Vegas Open, though, right?
Yes, I did. I'm amazed that you remember that. I hardly remember Las Vegas Open. Oh my god! Well, just as one introduction, Justin and I have a slightly shared history, which I'm always happy to talk about, to claim just even the slightest amount of responsibility for getting Justin deeper into yo-yoing, which is that I gave Justin his first metal yo-yo. Am I correct there?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I think I had the Yo-Yo Factory 1, and then the next step after that was the Velocity. I had a green Velocity. That's the one where you can, like, choose if you want it to be responsive or unresponsive. That was a cool yo-yo. It had, like, a dial, and you would, like, twist it. But then I saw my brother went to the same school as you, and I didn't know. And then, like, I just went to one of my brother's exhibitions, and I see you, like, walking down the hallway, just, like, playing with your yo-yo, and then you see me also playing with my yo-yo. Like, I'm just, like, in a room, and you're walking by, and we're both yo-yoing. We just look at each other, we just, like, stop, and it's like, yo-yo!
Oh, it's always a magical moment, and it rarely happens.
Yeah, it's only happened to me, like, two times ever.
Uh-huh.
One time, we were at a meet, and there was just this random guy who came up, and he was like, guys, I know how to yo-yo. Like, I actually know how to yo-yo. And we gave him a yo-yo, and he starts, like, busting down.
Uh-huh.
And we were like, whoa, like, he knows the yo-yo.
Oh, that's so good.
The only other time. But yeah, and then I was always trying to, like, get together with you to, like, so you could, like, teach me and stuff. Because at this time, I'd only been yo-yoing for a few months, so I was, like, not good. Like, you literally, like, showed me a trick, and I literally tried to do, like, the bucket tutorial from, like, Andre Boulay. Like, you just, like, make a formation and just, like, land in it. And then, like, that's the trick.
Well, yeah, but the fact that you had, like, some clear passion, like, you weren't just some kid with, like, a uppy-downy, old-school imperial or something. Yeah. Like, you were clearly into it, and I was like, all right, if it, like, I can't just let this guy not have a yo-yo. And I knew from one of my friends, Mitchell Ruskin, I don't know if you ever ran into him, he used to go to the shop too. He got some yo-yo from his friend Dylan Ben Harris, who was older than him, who's also pretty, he's like a good old school yo-yoer. And Mitchell was kind of like, he was helping to bring me up originally. He's the first person that showed me yo-yoing. And he would tell me about all these yo-yos that he got from Dylan. And the whole time I was like, huh, why aren't you like passing on the tradition of bringing yo-yos forward? Like, that seems to be the thing to do. And so when I saw you, I was like, all right, I clearly have a responsibility here. And I had a three-a pair of Genesis that I was rarely using, and I was like, I can spare one of these. I can have one Genesis.
Yeah, you giving me that yo-yo really, like, made me a lot more, like, passionate about yo-yoing, because I was like, yo-yoers care.
Yeah.
The community's good.
That is, if anyone gets anything away from this, it's, if you know a little yo-yoer, give them a good yo-yo.
Yeah.
It'll make their day, and sometimes it'll make a Justin Bauer. Oh my goodness. So that happened. We got, so what was, so now you're in the having a professional yo-yo game, and where's sort of your inspiration starting to come from as you progress past the Andre Boulet tutorials?
It turned into becoming having Andrew Mader and Michael Curdy become like the only yo-yoers I watched. Mm-hmm. And then just like trying to copy all of their tricks.
Yep.
So like after Yo-Yo Expert, I was just like, you know, I want to learn from like pro players who are like winning contests and stuff. And I want to like learn all their tricks. So I kind of turned into like this tech player. It was to the point where I would go like to a contest and I would just like get into a knot and just like try to like slowly get out of it. Uh-huh. If you look at some of my like old routines from like 2015, 2016, 2017, yeah, it's like all just like tech that just like doesn't score.
Uh-huh.
So that's kind of like where it went to.
Uh-huh.
And I was always like, I always didn't like the kind of tricks where it was like a speed combo because it was like super like unoriginal. I'm like, well, everyone does this.
Yeah.
But then one day I was like, well, maybe I'm just gonna like try doing that and just like see how I place. And then that's when that's like right when I got sponsored by Yo-Yo Brothers. Doing the meta tricks.
I think I see a pattern emerging. The day that you sold your soul was the day that I'm messing with you, but yeah, so I didn't know that you got sponsored by Yo-Yo Brothers. What was that like?
It was really cool because he let me use whatever yo-yo I wanted to. But the team was kind of small and there weren't that many players around me. So like that's what eventually led me to leaving. But like everything I go through, like no matter if I stay with it or what, it's always like a learning experience. And I probably wouldn't be where I am now without that sponsor.
Yeah. Definitely. If you could name like one thing that you got from that sponsorship, what would it be? Besides yo-yos.
Yeah, one thing I got from the sponsorship is nice yo-yos.
Good.
No.
Was there anything else?
Like
maybe connections or if they like encourage you to go to a specific contest or just like having that legitimacy of like, I'm now a sponsored player, let me take this more seriously.
Yeah, like, I think definitely, like, accepting a sponsorship, like, there's a bunch of responsibility and, like, you feel more motivated because you feel like you're the real stuff now. You're, yeah. Like, technically, like, a professional yo-yoer because you're, like, on a team. So that was super cool because that was the first time I've ever had, like, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
you know, I never knew what it was like to be sponsored. So that, like, that's what I took away from it. I learned what it meant to be, like, on a team.
That's good. So then you, well, let me take care of two little pieces of business. One is that if I start naming out timestamps later on in this episode, they're all going to be off by about 3 minutes. I'll put the amount that they're off by in the description of this. The second piece of business is you were the junior national champion also, right?
Yeah, in 2019.
Perfect. That was just one thing that I forgot to mention earlier in the episode, not just top 15 in scales. Also, junior national champion Justin Dower. and so, yeah. So moving from Yo-Yo Brothers on to Duncan, how did that happen?
It happened with, well, after Yo-Yo Brothers, what happened was I was trying to get on to, like, another team. So I would, I left Yo-Yo Brothers, and then I was using SF Yo-Yos, and I was talking to them a lot. Uh-huh. And then as I was trying to get on to, like, that team, I was greeted by Owen Ekblad. He stayed at our house for a few days during the summer of 2019. This would have been, like, right before Worlds.
Yeah.
And Owen stayed with us, and he brought up the idea of me joining Duncan Next Gen. But I'm not exactly sure what my reason was, but I just was, like, so focused on, like, other teams that I just, like, didn't really, like, care about it that much. Uh-huh. But at Worlds, I was doing the alternative freestyles that Scales was hosting, and I'm, like, up there, like, doing some tricks, and then someone throws a Duncan hat at me, and then I put it on, because, you know, I gotta play along with it, and everyone just starts chanting, like, Duncan, Duncan. Uh-huh. And then someone gives me, like, a Duncan yo-yo, and I'm just, like, up there, like, Duncan hat, Duncan yo-yo, and I'm like, whoa, this year is really good. I'm like, oh, I want to be on Duncan, yeah. And then Owen ended up letting me keep that yo-yo. And I was like, okay, like, Duncan's got some good yo-yos. And that's it just went from there. I was like, you know, Owen, I think I'll take you up on that offer.
Well, that's awesome. So is the next gen team different than the like, team?
Yeah, think of it as like a futures team, like the junior team kind
of. Okay.
But then I was like, if you're under 18, like, you're basically just going to be on futures for next gen for a little bit before you go into the real team.
I see.
And then, like, I think in 2020, like, sometime in the summer, it was official that I was on the official team. And they made this yo-yo with my name on it.
Yes.
Said, welcome to the team. And that was super cool. First yo-yo ever to have my name printed on it. That was, like, so cool. That's, like, a two-of-a-kind yo-yo, I think.
Who has the other one?
Brian. Team manager.
Well, that's sick. And you recently got a signature colorway, right?
Yep. Here's the first plug of the day.
Yeah.
The Justin Dower Edition GTR. They're still available at Yo-Yo Expert, and it's got my name on it. You can't really see it, but that text right there says my name, trust me.
And it's a nice colorway. What are the colors on it?
So it's red to purple fade with some orange splatter on it.
Nice. And that's a good little outer ring bimetal.
It's like a deep burgundy when it's spinning. It's like purple red.
It does blend really nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's awesome and excellent and beautiful, and I'm excited. So that's kind of, I think, a good amount of the intro. Something else I wanted to shout out, you were one of the last of the kite shop crew, and you started going after I had gone to college, so we were never really there together, What was that like for you?
It was cool. I was going there with the yo-yo meets with Yoshi, Mikimoto. I was going there just like a few months before Yo-Yo Jam shut down. So I was really lucky to be yo-yoing at that time. That was also the time, I know for a fact that Yo-Yo Jam wasn't doing anything in 2016 before March, but they were doing stuff in 2015. Yo-Yo Jam like ran the shop. So when Yo-Yo Jam went out, so did the shop. So this would have been like somewhere in between March 2015 and March 2016. Mm-hmm. And that was a good time to be yo-yoing.
Yep.
That was also the time of the Redondo Beach contest.
That was a good, that would make sense that it was around then, because that's right around when I graduated, and that would have been when I was in high school, and that would have meant that I would have met you then. Mm-hmm. Man! History. All right, so that's all good. Let's get into one thing, which is that at, I think it's PNWR 2018, you did something on stage, which then, I'll let you tell a story.
Yeah, so 2018 PNWR, that's the, I'm pretty sure that was my first contest on Yo-Yo Brothers. That's when I introduced, like, my new tricks where I was, like, doing the easy tricks, but they were also flashy and, like, fast.
Uh-huh.
And that was just, like, a super high performance. As I'm, like, going through the tricks, I'm, like, I think, like, right before the beat drops, I go, like, let's go! Uh-huh. I get into this trick, and then I think later that year, Evan DeGau also, like, yelled, let's go, like, and he also commented on my routine, so there might have been an influence, and if there is, I'm super proud.
Well, one day I will somehow manage to get Evan on this show, and on that day, I'll make sure to ask him if that's where that came from.
Bro, if he actually, because he did see the routine, like, he commented something like, he's, like, the future, something like that, because I think he recognized my energy, so it was a good chance.
Dude, it's maybe, well, first of all, was that a planned let's go, or was that just inspired by the moment?
I think it was in the moment. I don't remember exactly, but I think it would have been kind of dumb to be practicing a routine and then let's go while you're practicing.
I gotcha.
You know? But it just felt right, you know?
Yep. Well, that's awesome. Cool. So I think let's move a little bit into something that's still a little bit on the, like, getting to know you side, but also moving into sort of a performance side, which is, you were in three kind of major non-yo-yo media productions, let's call them. Two were music videos, and then one was a TV show, correct?
Yep.
So let's go through those, how those happened, what happened on them. What was the first one?
The first one was Ryan's Mystery Playdate. He's a YouTuber who's, now he's probably like 10 or 11, but I think at the time he was like 7 or 8. And his YouTube channel is Ryan's Toy Review. I think he made the most money on YouTube in 2019 or 2018. Or no, 2019 or 2020, one of those years. Doesn't really matter. But they asked Yo-Yo Expert. It's by Nickelodeon, by the way, the TV show. Oh. Nickelodeon contacted Yo-Yo Expert and asked for a yo-yoer. And at that time, I was unsponsored. This was like right after I left Yo-Yo Brothers. Oh. And I was always wearing like Yo-Yo Expert t-shirts, and like I was buying stuff from them, and like we were just like good friends. So I was lucky enough that they recommended me to be on the show.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so how'd that go? What kind of tricks did you show Ryan?
Oh, I have some tricks that I specifically designed for for showing audiences of non-yo-yo where it's like this one.
Oh, beautiful.
And, you know, of course, you got to hit the DNA, or I called it the tornado vine, and they had to call it the whirlpool because tornado is too scary, you know?
Ah, and whirlpools are not scary at all.
No.
For anyone listening, timestamp is 26:50. It's almost 27.
Adjust by the amount.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful.
I'm sorry. It's not the DNA. It's the whirlpool.
The whirlpool, yes.
Yeah, you guys have been calling it the wrong name this entire time. Nickelodeon actually named it first.
Yeah. The Nickelodeon censors are actually professional yo-yo judges.
I was surprised how much censoring they had to do because I had a pair of Vans on, and apparently, like, the stripe on the Vans is, like, the logo, so they literally had to put a piece of tape over it because you weren't allowed to have any brands on it. I also had to custom make a shirt because I needed to wear a yo-yo shirt, but every single yo-yo shirt is, like, a branded shirt that has, like, it's, like, you know, every yo-yo shirt is an advertisement. So I literally had to just, like, print a PNG of a yo-yo onto a shirt, and that's what I wore.
Did they cover the cost of that at least?
No, we had to do that.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah. Well, the money they gave us made up for it, though.
Yeah, I'm sure. So there was a word that you used yesterday during the pre-interview to describe like that this trick that you were doing. Which you called easy flashy.
Yeah, easy flashy.
I just really like that as a short, sweet, simple term. Which you were kind of defining as like a trick that you can hit every time, but that looks really big. Which sort of to me is like an Eli hop or a boingy.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. Like this is like the definition of easy flashy.
Yeah. Like once you learn it, you can't miss that. And those are really good for if you're building out a performance because non-yo-yoers don't care. Ryan didn't care.
Yeah, those are really good tricks to show non-yo-yoers. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but like non-yo-yoers, like I'll do like a crazy tech trick and they won't care, but the second I do this, they start like freaking out.
Yeah. You can just like have them hold something and then Eli hop it out of their hand.
Yeah. Like, have you seen those guys, like, with their loopers, like, get quarters off of people's ears?
Oh, yeah. Yoshi can do that. Yoshi can put it on his own ear, and then he just loops until it flies off. So, cool. So, after Ryan's Mystery Playhouse, you did,
what?
It was Lil Yachty first, right?
I'm sorry, what?
After Ryan's Mystery Playhouse, you did the Lil Yachty music video?
It was a live concert thing. So, like,
right.
During COVID, he just had people sign up for, tickets to get into, like, a Zoom. And then he would just be, like, rapping. And the actual set, there was, like, a big green screen. And there was so many special effects. Like, he's just sitting there in a green screen, and then, like, on the actual, like, production TV, he's, like, in a video game. But, yeah, like, Lil Yachty's, like, he's got, like, 10 million followers on Instagram, so I didn't really, like, talk to him. I just kind of, like, showed up and just yo-yoed, because I was friends with the producer. And, actually, let's go to Shake Will first, because the order of this matters.
Okay.
So, I did the Shake Will video, and then...
Shake Will 9 Ways, if anyone wants to look that up.
Yeah. Good. It's a good song. And, I did that, and then the producer, or I don't know what his official, like, role is, but just call him the producer. His name's Dan Strait. He really liked what I was doing, so... he just started inviting me to more and more like rap type things. just like people who needed like performers for like yo-yoing or whatever, you know.
Like, was there more than just those two?
Huh?
Were there more than just those two?
There was another one that like just got released like a few weeks ago, with what's his face. You know the guy that's like screw real estate, like that meme.
No, unfortunately.
Forgetting his name. He's a really popular dude. What's his name?
Wait, say the meme one more time.
He like whispers in your ear. It's free real estate.
Oh, I don't remember who that is, but I do.
It was that guy.
Okay.
He has a podcast, and Shakewell was in it, so. They were like, well, since Shakewell like just dropped this song, like let's invite some of his people that were in the video. So I showed up to that.
Cool. And you just like talked. it's kind of strange to have all those people and then like you at age what, 15 or
Yeah, this is probably 15 or 16.
Oh god.
A year or two ago.
Oh, your mom just commented Eric Warheim.
Oh, yeah, that's his name.
Warheim. Well, good. So you did those. Was there any, like, outcomes from that? I mean, besides being in a really cool music video and getting to wear an awesome Huey t-shirt.
Yeah, I've been recognized a few times in public because of it. So.
Really?
Yeah, I never thought that would, like, happen. Like, you know, the music video is the most popular. It has, like, 3 million views. But in my head, it's just, like, the same, like, couple hundred thousand people watching it over and over. And, like, there's not a high chance that they're, like, near me. But nope. some kids at my school they were like, hey, like, you look familiar. And I was like, what kind of music do you listen to? And then the first thing they say is Shakewell. I'm like, well... that's probably where you recognize me. And I pull out my yo-yo, and they're like, it's you!
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, no, there's not many people who can get recognized on, you know, from non-yo-yo media. Ben Kondi was in that, I think, Veritasium.
Oh, yeah, I love Veritasium.
That was a great episode, too.
Yeah, I was literally watching some of his videos, like, yesterday, just, like, some, like, unsolved, like, math proofs.
Oh, yeah.
Makes great videos. And also, like, the one where he proved that, like, you couldn't steer a bicycle without, like, once steering it, like, the other.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember that one.
Yeah.
Man. But, you know, where would Veritasium be without Ben Kondi? He'd be nothing.
I think that video has like almost 10 million views though.
Oh yeah, no, that did really, really well.
That's like probably one of the most viewed yo-yo videos ever. Like video that has a yo-yo in it.
It's definitely up there. That I know Zach Gormley got a pretty big one with like Kuma Films, I think. Then the Gentry one got some high numbers, but...
The highest one, I don't know if it counts, but Alex Satori was in a One Republic music video.
Really?
Yeah, and that music video is like 80 million views. Like,
my goodness.
So, and he's doing like 3A in it too.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know if it counts because like people don't really like watch music videos. They just like play it and listen.
And just listen to it in the background of a party.
Well, yeah, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to a music video, like, most people just watch it once and then listen to it after. So,
well,
I don't know.
Well, the other thing is, I do know at, like, Shakewell's concerts now, there's the five, when that song plays, he's got the five graphics representing all the five people, and one of them is a yo-yo. So, like, now it's getting stuff out there, you know?
Yeah, it is kind of weird that, like, my symbolism is, like, on a big screen at a Shakewell concert. And yeah. I'm just, like, not there. Like, I don't even know what's happening, but, you know, my...
It's still getting used.
Whoever represents me is there.
They better be paying you royalties every time they use that symbol. Oh my god. So that's sweet. Getting, you know, representation for the yoga community, always amazing, always good. Yeah, it sounds like you kind of got that through connections with, like, family, friends, is kind of what it sounds like, ultimately. And also from that original Ryan's Mystery Playdate. It seems like you kind of got that from a mix between the connections with Andre introducing you onto Ryan's Mystery Playdate, and then just, like, connections with friends of your family.
Well, the producer, he was looking up professional yo-yoers, like, in the L.A. area.
Ah.
He saw the results from West Coast, and I don't know why, but he chose the 10th place guy. Probably because I was really young.
Yeah.
And, oh, I bet he looked me up and saw the Ryan thing, so he knew that I didn't have it. He knew I had a little bit of experience.
Yeah, he's like, oh, this guy's a pro. He's a master actor.
Got yo-yoing. I'm great at yo-yo acting.
Damn. So that's great. Let's, I think, put a button on that little media thing. I think the one thing as far as, like, technique and performance is that easy flashy concept. Also very good, like, 4-point something hook or whatever you just hit with no sweat at all. That was beautiful.
Speaking of that, this guy, I forgot his name. He hit a 6.5 hook today.
Oh yeah.
So I just hit a 3.0 right there. So he did one of those and then another one and then a half. And he hit it.
Ridiculous.
I posted it on my story if anyone wants to see it. I think his channel is like ALDR_something. You can probably find that name.
I just know I saw it in Evan's story.
Yeah.
But let's go. There was another quote, and I do sort of feel like I'm nitpicking here. And definitely tell me if this is, like, if I'm taking this out of context. But it was one thing that you said during the interview, which was, and I am fully using it because it proves the point of this show, which is, if I did the tricks that I wanted to, then I'd get last place.
Yeah.
So I wanted to kind of go into that of, like, what are the tricks that you want to do? And what are the tricks that you find yourself doing? And then I also know that you have theories on, like, how you build tricks to kind of incorporate both of those aspects into them.
Yeah, so the tricks that I like to do are literally the tricks that I was doing in, like, 2015, 2016, 2017. Like, those kinds of tricks, like the tech ones that I couldn't really hit. Uh-huh. Because those were basically just, like, getting into a spider web. But it wasn't just a spider web. It was my spider web. And that's what made it special. So stuff like that won't score, but it's really enjoyable. Even if it doesn't, like, even if it only looks like a knot, to me, just, like, making tricks that are like that are just so much fun.
Uh-huh.
And if I did those in a contest, it would not be so well. And now I have to make a combination of those and also scoring, like, at the same time. There's also, I can also, like, add more slacks in them now, so that's cool.
Those always look nice to an audience.
Yeah.
Yeah,
also just, like, you know, no-clicking stuff, like flowy stuff. Also repeaters. I was listening to the Josh Yee one today, and he pointed out that repeaters, like, you can't repeat tricks, like, repeat elements at a contest because they won't count. Like,
yeah.
And I agree with it because repeaters are awesome, but you can't use them in competition. So it's just stuff like that where, like, you know, with the scoring system, if you have any plan to do good, then you kind of have to build your tricks to aid towards the system instead of just doing what you want, you know?
Yeah. You definitely have to appease the judges before you appease yourself.
Yeah.
So then what did you do to kind of get around that, to do stuff that you want to be doing that's also within your style, but also to make sure that you're doing well enough to get your name high on the list?
I think it's a combination of just doing what I want, like getting into like a tech mount, and then one, like usually I would do like this one way to like that would be like the way I like, but then I just have to like add like maybe like a little pop or something to just get some clicks in to aid toward the judging system. So it's more just like the stuff I used to do, but just like a little bit more enhanced.
Mm-hmm. So kind of adding some flair to the older stuff.
Yeah. Or like just adding a slack in here and there, because roll elements like do not score.
What do you mean by a roll element? Is that like when you're here and then you do some like...
Well, the definition of like a click is like an advanced string element, and rolls just like aren't advanced or hard. Like you're never really gonna like miss a rolling element, but like slacks, they're a little bit more difficult. So that's why like you won't see like high scoring players like be like rolling around. They'll usually, the string formation will be changing like every second. Mm-hmm. They'll be going like in and out and whatever. But I don't want to get too much into the scoring system because it's kind of like irrelevant to yo-yo theory, you know?
Yeah. I definitely think so. I just avoid anything needing to do with competition, and then I live my life. Which there's definitely something to talk about there that I want to come back to about what a yo-yo trick is. Because I think we got a disagreement there.
What a yo-yo trick is.
Yeah. Oh, we'll hit that. Let me make sure. You know what? I don't even have it written down, but I'm going to. What?
We have to debate the definition of a yo-yo trick.
Yep. Yo-yo trick is. Because I thought about it more today. And I got some thoughts on it. So you have a formula of how you create tricks. And is that kind of what you were just saying about, like, take a tech mount, add some flashiness to it, or is there a little bit more to that?
That was more of just, like, an analogy. But my actual formula is to, like, start with something, like, really, like, speedy and flashy. Mm-hmm. And then you get into something that's, like, really slacky, and then you end with something cool.
Okay. And timestamp is 44 minutes and 44 seconds for anyone listening. So start with something fast and techy.
Yeah. This one's, like, fast, and then it gets into, like, this, like, thing, like that.
Okay.
For some reason, it just goes really well, because if you just throw your yo-yo, if you just throw your yo-yo and get straight into, like, slow slack elements, mm-hmm. it just doesn't seem right, because, like, you have no flow already, so you're just gonna, like, keep it with no flow. Like, it should be, like, flowy, or at least fast, and then it should be hopping into something else.
Uh-huh. So you kind of hit all your bases when you start with something a little bit quicker, a little more technical, and then...
Yeah. Okay. I think the goal is to keep the theme of the yo-yo trick while still having varied elements. Mm-hmm. So, like, the tricks that I like to make, like, there's... I do think that themes are really good, so, like, either, like, a slack trick or, like, a speed combo... Because, you know, if you're just doing, like, a bunch of random elements, like, you could go and then just, like, get out of it, do a speed combo, and then you do, like, one horizontal element. You know, like, the elements are supposed to be pieced together in a certain way that's appealing. They're not supposed to be random. So yeah. There's still that aspect of, like, organization within a trick. But I forgot what I was going to say, to be honest.
So you're kind of talking about theming?
Hmm? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, there still needs to be a theme to it, but I think within the trick itself, the elements should be, like, varied. So a good way to have, like, varied elements in, like, one trick is to use different zones. Cross your arms. Use chopsticks. Have a slack. Put the yo-yo, like, around your arm. Flip it over. Do a twirl. And, like, for another trick, do, like, a triangle cross-arm thing. But then, like, this will get someone's attention, and then it goes into the content of the trick. And then by this time, you might get bored, so that's why you add in this cool slack thing.
I see. So you want to maintain, if you're doing a slacky trick, you want to have the slack show up through all your elements. But if you have a bunch of slack elements right here, which is kind of my style, like, then it could get boring. So to switch it up, what you might want to do is maintain that same theme of slack, but now maybe come over here or come
exactly.
up here or
yeah.
spin, go under your leg.
Yeah, yeah okay. It's the same type of trick, but you're just doing the theme somewhere else.
Okay. So then I guess the thing to practice there is learn different elements in different zones and break it up that way so that you can
definitely.
And also along different themes. So there's three different factors that are changing. There's the element, so like the trick, the place that it's happening, and then the theme of it, whether it's fast or slow or flowy or slacky or horizontal or any of the above, or like a grind combo. So mixing those while maintaining the theme, I think, is kind of what you're getting at, right?
Yeah, you definitely want to keep the audience's attention, so you don't want to be staying on one, like, zone for too long, because it'll all just become a blur, so you always want to, you know, like, pop it out every once in a while, or have something that's, doesn't matter what it is, as long as it's, like, not similar to what you were doing before, or it's, like, in a different zone, just something to keep the audience's attention, you know?
Novelty always gets an audience to...
You know, if you're in a competition, it could be a dance move. It could be a spin around, you know?
Doesn't it could be shouting, let's go!
Yeah, because for contest, that's not just tricks and music, that's a performance. You're yeah. dancing, and you're yo-yoing.
Yeah, 100%. I can't agree with that more. Like, it doesn't matter if you're competing, you're really performing. And I can't help but believe that if you do a really good performance, that affects the judges' decisions when they're tabulating those scores.
For my upcoming prelim, I was working on it recently. I'm adding, like, a little dance move in it. And I think that it'll definitely help the judges realize that, like, I'm getting into the music. And I'll get a higher music score.
Oh, my God. That it saddens me that the result is to make the judges happy, not to inspire the audience with your beautiful dancing. That's okay.
It's kind of a joke, but it works.
Oh, I know. I know.
No, I feel like most yo-yoers realize that the judging system isn't, like, it's not really supposed to show who is the best yo-yoer, but who understands the system the best.
Yeah. Which, I mean, at the end of the day, ice skating in the Olympics works the same way, I'm sure. Well, actually, I was listening to that, I forget who it is, someone who recently did really, really well. I think it was the winner of the female division or something. And the judges were talking about how... They were like, now, of course, we all know there's a big schism in the figure skating community about whether dance, these aren't all the correct terms, but whether form and dance is the future of ice skating or whether it's all triple axels. And I was listening to that and I couldn't help but just think, that's the difference between, that's just tech versus flow in yo-yoing. It's the same, it's the same exact argument happening everywhere.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
I like flowy tech.
There we go. I like techie flow.
Ooh. I honestly think that flow would win just because it looks cooler and it's also easier to go faster if the yo-yo is maintaining the same direction.
Yeah, plus when you talk about like easy flashy, there's nothing like, oh my god, Yuki Slack is that hard and looks so cool.
Yeah. Super trick, super cool looking. You know, you could honestly put that in a flashy, easy, or whatever that I called that.
Easy flashy. I'm sorry, I'm taking your terms and I'm coining them, so feel free. It's still your term, so you can change it. So that's cool. So that's sort of your formula of start fast, add a slack, and then end cool, right?
For competition tricks that are techie, that's definitely a good formula. That's the one I use.
So that's a cool little rule of thumb to keep in mind, just to make sure that you're getting the points while also making something that looks good.
That is the formula for making competition tech tricks. If you're not a competitor, then do whatever you want, you know? But yeah, for me, this is just what works.
100%. And I totally agree with you there. And I wasn't going to go off on a rant about how the competition isn't yo-yoing. Don't worry. I don't only do that. I'll keep telling myself that I don't only do that. Beautiful. So another thing that you said, which I loved, was, and I thought more about this, was that the tricks that we see on stage.
The chat. This is him. All.
Beautiful. So another thing that you said, I'm hearing feedback.
That's cool.
Was that your mom walking into your room?
Yeah, I don't know if she knows I'm doing this.
Oh. Well then. Future guest on Kill Your Yo-Yo, even though she doesn't know it yet, Michelle Tower just walked in. That's why there was feedback.
That'd be cool.
Cool. So the thing that I wanted to hit on is you said that the tricks that we see on stage today are not the current, like, that's not what people are actually doing. That's the tricks that those people have worked all year to master, and now they're showing them. Yeah. So what they're actually working on isn't what they're showing on stage.
Mm-hmm. There's two sides to that. There's exactly what you just said, where someone's doing tricks that they like mastered for a long time. A good example is like Andrew Mader, where for like 10 years he did the same tricks, but he got really, really good at them. So that's why he was like really good at placing high. But then when his signature yo-yos came out in the videos he was doing, he would do tricks that we have never seen before. So for 10 years, he did the same tricks. Then he filmed a video, and it was like all just like brand new stuff that no one's ever seen. And I think that was just the stuff that he was working on. And then there's also the side where you design your tricks to be easy to hit, so they just take less practice.
That's definitely my balance of that. Uh-huh.
Because what good is a trick if it takes you like 20 times to land it?
100%. So that I definitely want to come back to, and that's written down. I got a whole thing to say on that. First of all, the guy who hit the 6.5 hook is in the audience. It's ALDR_N537_YYF Edge.
Yeah.
I believe. And
6.5 hook.
So go ahead and follow him if you're listening.
Yeah. Pretty sure that's the world record. I don't know who else would. I mean, no guarantees, but that's the highest anyone's ever hit.
That's probably nearing the limit of what physics allows.
I don't think anyone could hit, like, literally, like, you would need to go to space to get above 7.5. I feel like a 7 is, like, possible if someone gets like extremely lucky, but I think that is literally the limit. Like, you would have to go to outer space to hit higher than that, or you would need to be really tall. What I've realized is that yo-yoers who are really tall, they just have more string, so they can just whip harder. Because when you're shorter, you could put your hand higher, but then you don't get as much force. You want your hand to be like, when your hand is lower, you get more. So if your string is longer and your hand is lower, then it's really overpowered.
Yeah.
I can't hit higher than 3.5. Like, I'm still trying to hit a 4.0 on video.
I think I've gotten a 3.0 and that's it.
Nice. That's still very hard.
Yeah, well, I learned a 2.5 of, like, probably a year, no, like 2 or 3 years into yo-yoing, and I was like, oh, I'm so young, I'm so good at this. And then I stayed at that level, and maybe, like, last year added one more half of a hook. So,
well, 2.5 to 3.0 is a major jump. Like, it's not a small deal. Like, it's literally... It's not just another half. It feels like a 1.5 more, to be honest.
Oh, definitely.
Because, like, if this is a 2, and, like, that's a 3, it's just so much.
Here's something I've been wondering. For me, a 2.5 is easier than a 2. Do you agree with that?
No, because I practice 2.0s more.
Ah.
Anyway.
I think the reason I was able to do a 2.5 is because that was the hardest thing. And I was like, if I'm going to do anything, I'll practice the hardest one. And then I'll just know that. But now they're at 6.5. So that just kind of shows how much things are evolving.
Yeah. I think a 2.5 might be easier to actually hit. But doing the arm swing is a workout.
That's true. But I am pretty tall.
That's true. You are tall.
So... On that point, going back to that point about what we're seeing is different, that Andrew made a point that what they're actually working on is different than what they're showing.
Yeah.
Something that I was thinking about is, like, the tech companies, like Apple, they do that same thing. When an iPhone drops, it's not like it's the first, it's not like it just suddenly was invented that day. They've been working on that for, like, 10 years. Even, so, like, all this strategy of, like, the current iPhone 13 looking just like the 12, they had that planned years ago. So that's kind of the same thing as what's happening in the yo-yo world, except for that you can't go into Apple and look at what they're doing and, like, learn from that. If you're a competitor with Apple, if you're like Samsung, you can't go look at what they're doing because they keep that hidden. But in yo-yoing, if you go and talk to people about what you haven't seen and just, like, ask them, like, what we're saying right now is that every yo-yoer has stuff that they haven't shown anyone else. And because of Instagram Live, and because if you are able to, because of clubs, but everybody has access to Instagram Live, or just, like, video chat or FaceTime, you can go up to any yo-yoer that you want, hit them up, and talk to them and just be like, hey, can you show me what you're working on? And then you can get to like, play with them on this new stuff that they're working on and give them ideas and collaborate that way. So, like... You know,
that also depends on if the person asking is a big competitor of theirs, then they might not show.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. If it's Gentry Stein, he might be a little bit less... I don't know. Is Gentry Stein even competing anymore?
I don't know. I don't think he would do nationals, but there's probably a chance he could do worlds again.
Okay.
If he does anything less than worlds, then, like, from his perspective, I don't see, like, the point in it, really. Because he already has, you know, for him it would be branding. So, he already has the name World Yo-Yo Champion. Like, he is the official World Yo-Yo Champion right now. So.
Also, that yo-yo is a little bit loud over the camera. The other one doesn't really get picked up as much. But, yeah, you can do that with almost any big yo-yoer. And now my dog is barking in the background. So we've got all kinds of fun noises happening. So the thing that I want to talk about for doing things to make tricks easier to land, because that is, I think, a really important point. What do you do to take a trick and make it simpler and easier to land on stage? And why do you do that, too?
I like to take into consideration, like, what elements are in it, and if one element will, like, take too long, or the setup for an element is too long, taking those out is good, because you'll save time. Mm-hmm. But it's mostly just designing the trick to make it easier to hit, so that could mean, like, here's an example I like to use. When you're, like, going through a trick, and then you have to insert your thumb and then, like, put in your index finger to then have it work smoothly, that kind of stuff will, like, seriously set you back. So you probably just will, like, want to go in a different direction. Mm-hmm. Or, like, if you want to keep going on that trick, like, find a different start where you don't have to do, like, that insert. Because, like, these things are, like, really... like really.
Oh, just that time it takes to grab the string.
What?
Just that like, extra movement of going in.
Just stuff like that will just... You just want to make the trick as easy as you can to hit. And also...
Timestamp is 1 hour, 2 minutes, and 30 seconds for anyone listening. Go on.
When I make a trick, I like to... Lost my track.
Oh, darn.
Oh, no. The 1 hour thing.
We were talking about putting your fingers into the like, extra movement that it takes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If I can't hit, like, the trick in, like, 10 tries, or if I don't feel, like, comfortable after 10 tries, because, you know, like, that's not, like, a rock-solid rule or anything, but it's just, like, a general guide that I like to follow. If I can't really hit it after that, then it's probably, like, too difficult to be putting in a routine at that time. But if I really like it, then, you know, I'll keep practicing it. But, like, it's not, like, competition ready, you know?
Yeah. So, this kind of reminds... So, before I go into that, what's something else... So, I mean, I was going to ask what something you would do to make things easier for a competition. But you kind of mentioned it's tricks that use extra movement, tricks that waste time, any of those kinds of things, right?
Yeah.
So, that is literally, there's a study of that, which is Lean Six Sigma. And I only bring that up. That's kind of what, like, big companies use to make sure that they're less wasteful. So, like, if you have a manufacturing line and you have, you know, wood being brought in on one side and then cabinets being sent out on the other side of the factory, and you have a saw that's, like, 100 feet away from where the wood gets brought in, then if you want to improve the efficiency of that factory, you should move that saw closer to where the wood is getting brought in. And that's kind of the basics of Lean, which was developed by Toyota, the car company. And you can read more about it in a book called The Toyota Way by Jeffrey Liker. And I only know that because Lean Six Sigma, I did a master's project on this. Like, I love Lean Six Sigma. So what you're talking about makes me think so much of that. Which, like, I studied, and like it's so useful for big companies and people who invest all this money into making sure that they have the most efficient systems. And so yo-yoers can definitely do that. And the basics of it is that there's seven main wastes. I'll let you look up what those are, but one of them is movement. I'm such a smart man with my big old project, and I don't remember any of the basics of it. I think the pressure is getting to me. But the point is, any time that gets wasted, or materials that get wasted, or extra movements that don't need to be there, all of that should get reduced and just completely eliminated. And otherwise, like, your system is gonna be less efficient. And in competition, that just means less points. And in a performance, that means a boring moment where you have to go and reach for a string. So no matter what you're doing, find a easier way to do it and like, work on engineering a solution around that. Because
it's literally the same exact thing.
Yeah. And one more, this is sort of a quality engineering connection, is if you're trying to hit a clean routine, that's essentially... making sure that you have a system that works 100% of the time. So every trick you do you can hit a percentage of the time, right?
Yep.
And if you can hit a trick 99% of the time, and then the next one 99% of the time, and then the next one 99% of the time, then to figure out your likelihood of hitting the full routine, you multiply all those 99% together, and that's your likelihood of hitting the whole routine. So the higher that you can get the likelihood of each trick, and what I mean by that is if you even have one that's like 50%, then you've screwed up your whole routine because now you can't hit that whole routine clean. So every single element you put in has to be as high. And that's going from the trick, from the routine level down to the trick level and then down to the element level. Everything should be completely optimized to that 99%.
Yeah, and when a yo-yo routine is like a story, then imagine you take out like part of a section of a movie that's important to the plot, you know?
Yeah.
That affects the overall aesthetic of the routine greatly.
Absolutely. Like, you don't want to take out anything that's super important, but you do want to make sure that it's very easy to hit. There was one more thing that I wanted to say on this. All I'll say is look up the magician Tony Wonder. He's someone who advocates for doing all of the hard stuff before the show so that by the time you're on stage, everything is super easy. And that's all that I really want to say about that without taking up too much time. Rant. Yeah.
Another quick thing is when I'm starting a routine, I like to start with an easy trick so that it sets a good vibe. Because if you start with your hard trick and you miss it, you're just going to get really discouraged.
Absolutely. Oh, that's so important.
That's why in a lot of my prelims, which is like the most important like freestyle you'll like do that day, I like to start with front style because front style is like really easy.
Yeah.
Imagine I miss it.
Don't worry, we're all missing easy stuff today. Plus, there's also an element of confidence. Of like, if you can come on and know that you have that first thing down.
Yeah.
Then you're set for the whole show.
Yeah, that reminds me of like a rule that we use when dirt biking is like, you're going to go where you're looking. And in yo-yoing, like if you're worrying about this one trick and you're worrying, you're going to worry so hard that you're not going to hit it.
Yeah. It's the worry that makes it not happen.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about, and I promise you seem confused, but we have different opinions here, what a yo-yo trick is. Which to me, if you're doing any trick with a yo-yo, then you are doing a yo-yo trick.
What's a trick?
Ain't that the question?
I think a yo-yo trick would be the yo-yo is spinning at the bottom of the string at any time. As long as it's spinning and the string is like not wrapped around the yo-yo. Whatever you're doing could be called a trick.
I think that this is a yo-yo trick and my yo-yo is not spinning. I also think that a snap start is a yo-yo trick and the yo-yo is not spinning for half of that trick.
I don't know, because is a yo-yo trick mean that you can only do it with a yo-yo, or is it just something, or is it a trick that you can do with multiple things and it's a yo-yo trick because it can be done with a yo-yo?
So
or
this,
is it that you can only do it with a yo-yo?
I'm glad you brought that up, because that is essentially, that's kind of the one example that I thought of, which is that if there is a piece of music that was written for the violin, that the composer was like, this is only to be played on a violin, and then a piano player goes, oh, that's a really nice piece of music, let me play it, then that doesn't cease to be music, you know?
Yeah.
It's just the... and so that kind of links in. If something was designed to be made for poi or rope dart, but someone goes in and does it with a yo-yo, which is like most of my tricks, then I think that's still a trick, but just performed on a yo-yo instead of the prop it was originally made with.
Yeah. it's also like, if they're doing it on the piano now, does that still make it a violin piece, or is it no longer a violin piece?
I think it was originally a violin piece being performed on a piano. I think it can, I don't know. It's up to the composer, I suppose.
Yeah.
Wow. These are some good conversations. These are questions that will puzzle yo-yoers for years to come. Oh my goodness. So I think that actually slightly leads into, oh, and one more point on that is that I might take back what I said about a dead yo-yo being the same as a spin yo-yo. I think that's sort of its own thing, because you know how people can like have a dead yo-yo and then start doing whips on, oh, there, I landed one somehow. And then like do whips. I think that's sort of its own prop.
Yeah. By the way, I just want to point out Angelo Aguirre was the 2019 dead yo-yo world champion.
Really?
Yeah, we had like 30 people in a circle, and we just played like a game of like yo-yo, where, you know, it's kind of like horse, like you try a trick, and it's like, you know, it's like simple tricks, just like front stall 2.0, just like random whips. And since the yo-yo is like, it's not on the same axis, it's like twisting, it's really hard to hit the string on it, and it ends up pulled up on top.
Man, what can't that guy do?
I don't know, man.
He always ends up in places that you least expect him.
Yeah. Happy birthday to him, by the way. He turned 20 2 days ago.
Yeah. He, buy his yo-yo also. Support him. He's doing good things. I hope one day to get him on the show.
Oh, that'd be great. I might talk to him about that, because I talk to him a lot.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, you guys were friends. Well, there's a little thing. You guys were friends before he got big on TikTok, right?
Yeah. We would always hang out at, like, the contests and stuff. That was around the time where I was, like, only using SF yo-yos. And he was stuff, so we were, like, just SF bros. And we have a lot of pictures together.
That's sweet. I think your mom was posting some of them. Or maybe you were. I forget where I was.
Yeah, that was for his birthday, yeah.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. He's got some great stuff. And, yeah, so going from SF to scales, there's my through line. You had some thoughts on what scales is doing for competitions and how it's sort of different than what competition used to be.
Oh, yeah. So this is going to be getting into like how yo-yoing is like scored.
Yeah.
So this is just from my understanding. The IYYF rules, which is like the official rules, is just 60-40. So 60% is your clickers, and then 40% is your evals, and then that's for prelim and final. And then scales, it's different every time, to be honest. But this time it was 64% tech and 36% evals for prelims. And then in finals, it was 50-50. So you could score like 130 in a 2 minute, which is more than one click per second, which is like very good. Yes. But you could also get like 20th place with that if your evals were good. So having it being 50-50 is really good. So the 50% eval contains stuff like risk and complexity and rareness. So when you talk about like the competition, like boingy boing tricks,
yeah,
like everyone does, like those might click high, but they're not rare, they're not risky, they're not complex,
yeah.
And it's up to the player if they go with the music or not.
Yeah.
That's what makes scales different, is usually, like, the more skilled players will win because they're not using, they're using, like, their own tricks, and they've made them to score high, and they're very risky, and they're rare, and they're complex, just listing every Evo category.
Yeah. And they have they can try it multiple times.
Oh yeah, there's also that factor.
Yeah.
That's really cool because in the risk factor, you know, people can just really try like whatever they want because you have unlimited time to fill.
Yeah.
But usually like no one will get a flawless routine. Like there might be like one person, but even if you get so many tries, like it's still super hard to film a flawless routine. I had an almost flawless. I think it was either -1 or 0, but my tricks weren't like that hard. I was really busy at that time, so I just wanted to get something I could hit.
I see. Yeah. So when normal competitions resume and IYYF takes back over, do you think we're going to lose all that progress?
Well, I don't think so because the meta tricks that score high for IYYF, like the easy ones that aren't rare, those ones are just like the cheap and fast route that achieve like the same thing that a rare trick that would also click high, like that achieves the same goal in the IYYF rules.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like since people already have those tricks, why not just use them?
Yeah. I see. So they've been working on those.
Yeah.
So they're going to end up.
For me, I'm just going to like, for like prelims and like semifinals, I'm going to be doing just like stuff that scores really high, not like caring about like rareness all that much. But then in the final, I'm going to try to, like for every final, I'm just going to try to make something that's a little bit more pleasing to like yo-yoers, so like using like more original tricks, and been working on a lot of those already. Because I'm trying to like stray away from using like easier tricks and going into like my own yo-yo style.
I see ya. I'm excited to see how your style develops.
Huh?
I'm excited to see how your style grows. You've made so much progress, like,
thank you,
just in the last couple of years. And you're still getting better every day. And now you're like, oh God, you're so good. You're too good. Okay.
I just gotta use more of my own tricks and just become more of like a technical player than a meta player, you know?
Absolutely. Can you show us one of the tricks that you're working on? Timestamp 1 hour and 19 minutes?
Yeah, so like I'll show a few. Here's one that's So these are still like in the works, which is why, well, it's okay that they're still in the works because I have like months until the next contest.
Yeah.
There's also like this one I've had for a little bit, but they're going to be just coming more often in my routines. So like those tricks, like they're cool because they're like a little bit more rare, but they're also like good at scoring.
Yeah.
So it's a really good combination, like also like stuff like.
And they're following your formula too.
Yep.
I love that idea of using a formula to make sure that your tricks have everything.
Also this one.
This looks so good. Oof.
I didn't think I was gonna hit that. It
looks awesome.
At the end of this trick, there's this cool like GT pop into that. Uh-huh. And this trick was it's really popular like 2019 Nats. It's literally a GT. And then you literally just like hop into a double. I'll try to hit it.
Is that it?
There
it is. Oh wow.
So I'm trying to be able to hit that consistent, and I feel like in a few months I might be able to.
Oh yeah.
Not but sure. That trick, if you hit, I've never seen anyone hit it on stage, but I feel like if someone hit that, the crowd would go insane because everyone like knows how to do it. Like almost everyone who's like really into like competing and stuff has like hit it like once, but. Like, at least, but to hit it, like, on stage would be insane. But
especially right at like a beat drop.
Yeah. But you know, it took me a while to hit it just there, so
yeah.
I'm gonna be working
on that one. Keep working it, you'll get it.
Yeah.
So I think that brings us to teaching a trick.
Oh boy. I'm so down. So
for people who are listening to the podcast, go check out the both of our Instagram pages. First of all, my Instagram is ilinx_toys, and all those timestamps are referring to my IGTV, which if you go to my page, you're gonna have to like click around, find the IGTV logo, click that, and then you'll find Kill Your Yo-Yo inside of that, and so you can go and watch the video recording. And Justin's Instagram, who he won't have this up, but you should follow him, is Justin Dower Yo-Yos, which is JustinDaurYoyos. So go ahead and follow those pages, and then you can see this awesome trick that he's about to teach us right now.
Yeah.
For those of you who are listening to the podcast, Justin just taught an awesome, awesome trick of like sort of a hop into a double green triangle and then a hop from that double into another double green triangle, which is a fun picture tricks, always acceptable, always fun. And this was a really cool little, there's a cool bit to it of like black flying around the yo-yo.
I like this one because it's really, like for me at least, it's creative and it's usable in competition.
Yes.
It's a little boop, boop.
It looks good and it scores.
Yep.
That's
a kind of trick.
It's a good kind of trick to like. Mm-hmm. So, I think we're kind of closing in on towards the end here. This has been awesome. First of all, thank you so much for coming.
Of course.
And
can't leave my boy hanging.
Oh, of course not. And it's
day one, bro.
Yeah. And what I like to do at the end of these shows is always a takeaway. So just like any point that we talked about, any little piece of nugget of information that you know, just a TLDR on the whole episode. If anyone didn't want to hear the whole thing, they just got one little piece to remember forever, what was that piece of information for you?
For me?
Yeah, what do you think? I'll do one as well.
If I could, like, summarize the episode.
Yeah.
Probably say, like, something along the lines of, there is an area where you can yo-yo the way you want and compete, and everyone can just yo-yo the way you want, but this is how I yo-yo. I have ways of yo-yoing, you got ways of yo-yoing, no one has a better way of yo-yoing, and that's the cool part about yo-yoing.
Absolutely. My whole thing is competition has problems, and I'll argue that all day. But competitors don't have problems. No. Competition, just as an institution, the people who do it, there's no problem. There's no wrong way to yo-yo. And like, if to someone yo-yoing is just how many wraps can you do on a hook, there's no problem there. Like that. If that's the thing that you love, and also competition, you know. Go do your competitions. And if you do want to compete, a lot of people do, you can score and make it look good. The one thing I would probably take away, I want to just throw in that easy flashy thing again, because I just love that. That, like, that's so good. That trick, that's just like going left and right, right?
Yeah.
That's so simple. Like, knowing that, knowing Eli Hops, knowing an Eiffel Tower, if people ask you to do a yo-yo trick, you don't have to whip out your speed combo. You can just do those and they'll go, whoa!
Right? Yeah, but for me personally, that combo just doesn't score high enough. I'm joking. Well, it doesn't, but Yeah.
Oh no, it definitely doesn't. There's no way. Oh my god. So another thing before the last question is any plugs? Obviously, Duncan. Obviously, the Justin Dower. I'll let you do the plugs.
Yeah. Duncan Toys. Shout out to Brian. Shout out to Jeremy at Zipline Strings. And buy my yo-yo.
Yeah. Which is the?
The Justin Dower Edition GTR.
Yes.
There's still some at Yo-Yo Expert. But all the other places sold out, like Rewind, Yo-Yo Sam, Spin Gear. But Yo-Yo Expert had the biggest stock, so there's still some there.
So get them while they're hot.
Yeah.
And also while they're available.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Then that's the plugs. The last question is the endless chain. If you were to recommend anybody to be on this show, anyone who you think needs to be on here, who should I reach out to next? And the only stipulation, have to be able to put me in touch with them.
Ooh. Oh, boy. I'm thinking of two people.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking of Yoshi Mikamoto and my mom.
Wait, who is the second one?
My mom.
Oh, my God. Those are both perfect.
Yeah, Yoshi's just been yo-yoing like forever, and he's probably witnessed a lot of great yo-yo things, and I bet he'd have a lot of cool things to say, probably a different perspective than most people. I think he'd be a really cool person to have.
I think I reached out to him and he didn't respond.
Just ask him in March at IRL.
I meant to, and then I instead asked, I think I announced that a world champion was going to be on, but didn't say who it was. It's Michael Nakamura. So I asked him, and then I forgot to ask Yoshi because that was the last thing I had to do before I left. But I got Michael Nakamura, so I'll definitely have Yoshi on soon.
Yeah, that'd be cool. You know, what if you got like a yo-yo company, like owner, maybe like Paul Yacht, like Shivam.
Oh, yeah.
What's his face? Ernest?
I asked Ernie, and he was like, he was telling me to ask Shivam, so I should definitely get Shivam.
Yeah, I think Shivam would be cool because he's like, his company's doing pretty well right now from what I understand.
He's Thesis, right?
Huh?
He's Thesis, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think like all the yo-yos are like selling out and stuff, and people are like all over it, so I think he'd be a great person to talk to.
I would love to get him on. Yeah, I'll definitely hit them up. Well, great. I asked for one. I got like seven. and Shivam's at DXL, right?
Yep. I just realized like all the people I just mentioned were at DXL.
Yeah. And also another world champion. So I'll definitely
have it. Right. 3A.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, I think that's about time. And yeah, I'll just say thank you one more time for coming on to the show. It's always good to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you, Ross. You're awesome sauce.
Awesome sauce, Ross?
Yeah.
I can't think of one for your name. This Justin.
I'm Justin.
Justin. just in time for the end of the show. doesn't quite work. Anyway, I'll see you at the next DXL.
All right.
Bye.
Bye, everyone. This was fun.
This was fun. See you soon. Later.